Thank you for listening to the Streams Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. We are a community that strives to know Jesus and make him known. If you like our podcast, subscribe and leave us a great rating on Apple Podcasts. Thank you, and we hope you enjoy.
Hi, Streams. Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you believe Sean's ugly sweater? He took it too far, did he not? Sally Jesse Raphael would be so pleased, wouldn't she? And hold on, babe, take it off and show him. Yeah, show
him.
And if he removes the jacket, he is now the main man for selling Gideon Bibles by door. Am I right?
What do you think? Should I jacket on or off?
On. Sally. Think of Sally Jesse Raphael. Yeah, on.
Okay. Yep. Maybe this should be a new Christmas tradition.
What?
This vest.
No, you mean that blazer?
The jacket.
I don't know.
Oh, no.
You do you.
Am I on? Are you getting? Okay.
Okay.
Well, we wanted to share our family traditions today, and we just like, let's do it together. It's so much fun. We have a couple traditions that we're going to open up the door to the Lind home and let you guys take a peek into some of the traditions that we get to share. So the first tradition that I would like to talk about is that we, number one, if you don't know anything about us, we really love Christmas, and we get into Christmas decorations a lot. Sister Sonia, yeah. So here's the thing. Here's what happened. We went to a mission trip to Thailand, and we flew back, and it is like November 1st, around 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I think.
Yeah.
And we are like wide awake.
We were in Thailand for probably, I think, 3 weeks. So we had really absorbed their timeline.
Yeah.
So we had like complete jet lag. It was crazy. We were both wide awake, like ready for the day, ready for some coffee.
Yeah, wide awake. And we're just like, I can't sleep either. And it was probably your idea. It was a brilliant idea. It was Lord inspired. But we're like, let's decorate for Christmas. I know it's only November 1st, but we're doing it.
At 2 a.m., Sean's getting in the rafters, down all the things.
All the stuff.
What we didn't tell you is at that time, I was discipling a lot of people. We were doing small groups out of our house, and we just happened to have three college-age girls living in our house during this time. They were so mad at us that we set up Christmas at 2 a.m. on November 1st.
They didn't share our Christmas spirit that point. So we totally converted it, and we just loved it. It was like, it's so much work to decorate for Christmas, you might as well enjoy it for 2 months. And I feel like the trend is, we're bringing in the trend.
It's like we started the trend. I think Hobby Lobby contacted us and was like, hey.
Yeah.
Hey, Sean, Suze, what do you guys think?
We wrote some letters. We're like, we need to have Christmas decorations available on November 1st, and they
absorbed it.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So we like to decorate early for Christmas, and there's a lot that goes on for Christmas, but I was thinking about this verse in Mark. It's right there on the screen, but it says that in the beginning, good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, it says, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his path for him. So this was a person, it was John the Baptist, and it was what the Bible calls is one of the most important people who ever lived on planet Earth. I mean, obviously Jesus is God, but he was labeled as one of the most important people because he prepared the way for Jesus. And so the thing that I want you to really take away of this Christmas service is that we need to make room for Christ. We need to make room for God in our hearts and our lives. And I parallel with it. When you decorate for Christmas, there's a lot of shuffling going on, right? It starts for us in in the garage. So I have all these fall bins. Thank you, Hobby Lobby. I have so much fall decorations that I have to take it down. So I have to pull that down. And then I have to store that, and then I have to do a reshuffling. It's like a domino shuffling of all the bins, and I pull out all the Christmas ones. The fall ones go here. This one goes back.
I just want to give Sean credit because I don't do one part of that. Even one part.
It's my holiday exercise.
It really is.
But you have to sort out all the fall stuff. You get all that down, and then you have to move the furniture. Like you shuffle this chair, you twist this couch, and then you realize, that's where the Apple TV remote went.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
It's like the size of a piece of chewing gum.
I know, we talk about it all the time.
It's like this, and you're like angry and happy. And
we don't know what to do.
You don't know what to do, but you found the Apple TV remote every Christmas, and then you have to like get out the vacuum, and then you vacuum everything, and then you lug in the tree, and then like you've made room for the tree. You've made room for Christmas. You take down, and then you put up Christmas. And so there's a lot to going it on, but I just want to encourage you, this is the best season. Well, actually, every day is a good season. It's just in your face this season to really make room for Jesus. And what does that look like in your lives? I know for us this year, we had moved into a new house and we wanted to decorate this wall. So like it was in our mind like, oh, we want to do this to this wall. But we never had a chance. But I knew that this wall was going to look so great for Christmas. So not only was I getting down fall, moving Christmas in, then I had to get my table saw, and I had to get paint and caulking, but you can see it. I think it turned out pretty good. See?
It's olive green, which really yields to the Christmas season.
So
I'm a little nervous once Christmas is over. Yeah. Hopefully I still like it. We'll see what happens. We might have to repaint
it. St. Patty's Day is going to like it. Anyways, so there was a lot of what was going on, but Advent is the arrival of a notable person or thing or an event. It's knowing the person who's coming, and I think I want to break down that there's kind of two aspects to preparing for Christ. There's the preparing side, and then there's the expectation side. And right now, we're like in the thick of it because we're preparing, knowing that December 25th is on its way. Like we know December 25th, less than a week, it's time to have everything set because you prepare the gifts, you go shopping, you get food, you get all this special stuff in preparation of Christmas, knowing that Christmas is going to come. And I think the same goes true with really preparing Christ in our lives. Like preparing for Christ, but also expecting him to come in our lives. And you know how it is when you have guests come, right? You have to make sure the guest bed's done, the sheets are made, fresh towels, right, ladies, right? You put the extra
downy
in there.
Or you don't. I mean, you don't have to do that, but most do.
Okay, well. Yeah. And then you got make sure you have extra groceries and all that. And I was thinking, like, what does this look like in my life? Like, as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, what does preparing for Christ look like? And then also like expecting him to come. And I think for my day, I just wake up and I just kind of like say, okay, Lord, like you can interrupt my day. Here's my schedule. Here's my list of things to do that usually takes 32 hours. And I try to.
Yeah, you do it in 12. Yep.
But I say, you know what, Lord, you can interrupt my schedule. And you see so many different stories and awesome miracles in the Bible when he interrupts and encounters somebody with leprosy, or he encounters the other person and kind of interrupts his day. But that's an opportunity. And so, like, I'm prepared in my heart and say, Lord, you have my day. You have my day. And I'm prepared that if I can share my story, or I can give an encouragement, or maybe I listen to worship music, or I'm listening to a podcast, or spend time in my Bible, like, I'm preparing for God so that when I do have that encounter with somebody, like, I'm expecting that. And like, even my father-in-law, Bill, we were at getting his battery changed. And we had a chance to pray for this guy. And he had an issue with his eye. And we're like, hey, has anybody ever prayed for you? And he's like, no. And I said, could we pray for you? And like, I was like fully expecting God to do a miracle. I was like, come on, this would be so awesome. Like expecting Jesus to come in that preparation time. So I wanted to share that. That was a great Christmas tradition. And we have another Christmas tradition that we want to share as well.
Yeah, this is probably like our wowzer one. Our kids go fanatical over it. And a lot of what we do for Christmas has a lot to do with our children. Would you say that's kind of true? And it can get out of control. I'm going to say that real quick. And maybe some people might come into my house and be like, there's a lot of Christmas in here. But honestly, I just want you to know, for me, I want to prepare every single room in my home for reminders of Christ coming to this earth. And I do that, except not upstairs. I'm not there yet. But every year I add to the decorations just one item, so that I'm not going out and spending all this money every year on decorations. I just collect one a year. So the packaging to put away every year gets larger for Sean Lynn. So anyways, our second tradition, which I love, the kids have loved all the whole time we've done it was actually from a gift given to us. We had some friends that I met when I was in my master's program at Grand Canyon University, and this girl, her name was Jackie. She was about 10 years younger than me. I had shared, and I don't know, I was just, we were in class a lot in a cohort, and she had come up to me and said, Susie, I've heard your story a little bit. I want to know it more. Can we sit down? Can we talk? Can we do life a little bit? I would love for you to disciple me. And I'm like, wow, that was a lot in one sentence. Can I pray about that? and so we became in relationship, and within a year, her and her husband actually moved to China as missionaries to China. So we prayed for them. We were doing weekly phone calls and chats, just kind of like encouraging them when they were in China. But before she went, she had this collection of card catalogs, vintage card catalogs from the library, like the Dewey system. Anybody Dewey'd up over here? Anybody? Okay. So if you know the Dewey system, they used to have these cards that you put index and then you find it. It was really hard and challenging. I would give up after like...
The Dewey system? There was a name for it? Yeah. Didn't even know.
It's okay, babe.
I knew about the card catalogs.
You're lucky that we're now out of that system. That's a hard system. It was a decimal point, the whole thing. It was great. Uh-huh. So I think we have a picture of it, but around the time, it right there. But what I've done is every Christmas, as soon as it came to our house, we're like, oh, as soon as Christmas hit, we're just like, this is the perfect Advent calendar, right? It's perfect. And we always put our nativity scene on it, and the kids know that baby Jesus goes right there in the middle. And we actually number it per the days, but we have to start on December 10th.
Yeah, and that's really important. That's super spiritual.
Yeah, do you guys know why we do that, the 10th? Go ahead, tell them.
Well, there's like 15 drawers. So.
There's only 15 drawers.
Yeah.
You work with what you got, amen?
Yeah.
So every day we put, and there's an example of one of the cards was actually left in there. Isn't that cool?
I love
old things. I love old things made new again. I love it. So, and we've numbered it, and every single morning the kids awaken and they come running downstairs for that 15 days before Christmas.
Yeah, so we stash a little toy, but you had to be creative because you got to get a toy that's going to fit in the drawers. But I think we have a little video. You can check this out.
That's Miles.
Yeah.
That's, yep. They have to open it together. The dog gets involved.
What? We should have a dog treat in there
for
our dogs.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So anyways, that's it. So the thing is that the kids know why we do this. We don't just give them the gift, then we have to have a little talk because mom's a teacher. So it's never just free of a lesson. Nothing in their life is free of a lesson, unfortunately for them. And obviously, we have a little lesson. And what I love about what this represents in our lives is that here's what I need you to know about these drawers. They are like the bottom feeder drawers because during when it's not Advent season, these become the junk drawer. Like the things where we have no idea where to put, these drawers become that.
Who's got a junk drawer?
Junk drawers?
We all have them.
Yeah, this is lower than that. This is like less important.
Well, we have more room for junk drawers.
It's true. So the most random things end up in these drawers. And you know what's interesting about that? I just thought how accurate that was to my life and my heart. And I'm just going to be real because that's who I will always be to you. I find that sometimes if I'm not careful, the very things I have set apart for Advent and for preparing and anticipating the coming of my Savior gets filled up with things that do not matter. Anybody else? And so let me tell you what's in those drawers. Some of them, those drawers, if I'm not lying, we have a really big problem with receipts. I don't know. We have like receipt wars, Sean and I. And like we have this weird thing, like keep every receipt. You just never know. You just never know
just
if you might need that receipt.
Take it back. Sally?
Thank you, Sally. Thank you. So this drawer is like filled by the end of November when we get ready to decorate and do Advent calendar. It's like filled with receipts, right?
Yes.
And just so you guys know, not one time have we ever gone to that drawer in need of that receipt. Not one time.
Maybe once.
And I think about how, for me, that represents truly a propensity to rely on my own strength with finances, if I'm honest. And I got to work so to make sure my family has what they need and my kids can get to college. And even sometimes I find that it's a struggle within me to rely on Christ because I've done a good job of, like, I can get a job pretty well. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I say that, I'm being honest with you guys, because I want you to also prepare your hearts in all these areas. Another drawer we have, this is hilarious, but just as Sean was talking about the Apple remote, I don't know why we have 55,000 remotes that we never use. How many of you, honestly, be honest right now, you have a DVD player that you literally never use? Anybody? It's like gone. DVDs are just like, just chuck them, but we don't. We're just save it, just in case. We might want to watch that one DVD. On.
Who's got a VHS player?
Oh, yeah. Anybody?
Oh!
No!
Whoa!
No!
Get out of here!
Whoa!
You're kidding!
Get rid of the beta. Get rid
That's
of the VHS.
Crazy. VHS?
Gee, hold on.
You should melt those
hold
down.
Hold on. 8-track? 8-track?
I see a hand.
Jeff, get rid of the 8.
Oh,
this message is for you. This message is for you. Clear it
Prepare
out.
Prepare the room.
Prepare the room.
Anyways, I find that we have like the random, the candle remote. I have candle remotes and DVD remote. And then the remote that Miles doesn't want to get rid of, even though the toy is gone.
Yeah,
but we don't know that remote.
We don't know what it goes to, but just in case we find it, we know where the remote is.
And I disconnected how entertainment can sometimes take the place where I want Jesus to be. And that I will sometimes push into relaxing and staying in my own comfortable spot instead of preparing the place for him. And I know this speaks to you because we all get those notifications on our Apple phone. You've went down 2% of the time you've spent on your screen, right? And actually, this is really cool, but I was at the Christmas tea, and Kristen, which you probably may or may not have met, she had told me that her and her husband had started reading Crossing the Switchblade, and I just told Sean, I'm like, that really perked in my spirit. I have read it before. I even got a chance to go to David Wilkerson's church in New York City. I was in college. I even got to meet his son. It was cool. And I was like, we should read this to the kids at night. So the last, since the tea, I got the book. I ordered it on Amazon, and we've been reading it every night, a chapter a night, and it has been amazing. Just to carve out that space to share a story with my children about what Christ is doing that's fanatical and crazy and outlandish and absolutely reliant on the Holy Spirit. And every night, this is what's crazy. It's like we set the table for Christ, and he shows up in my home with my 10-year-old. Mm-hmm. At one point, after David had prayed for his, in the book, David prays for his dad, and his dad actually like almost dies, and he comes back. He like doesn't die. And Miles says, Mom, we're done the chapter. He's like, Mom, I know it's time for bed, but, and Sean and Lily had already left, and he's always like I'm gonna make this long as last as I can. He's always like, oh, I need a drink, and I need this before bed. He's like, Mom, I just feel like, and I'm not trying to stall to go to bed, I promise. You know, he says that to me. I just feel like I always ask Jesus for stuff. Like yesterday in class, I asked that we, as my table team, would land on free parking in Monopoly, and we did. So I know Jesus is real. And he said, but I kind of feel like right now after reading that I ask too much for Jesus, and I want to spend some time thanking him. I was like, are you kidding me? Merry Christmas! I'm like, yes, Miles, we can pray Thanksgiving, prayers of Thanksgiving. How about we popcorn pray? I'll go, you go, because I got a lot to thank him about. We spent 10 minutes, him just recounting. It got him so, he literally started crying with thankfulness at the end. I just let him go. He was going to town, thanking for a family that loves him, thanking for Jesus who died on the cross. Things I didn't even know he was connecting, but he was. Just by preparing him room. We're just preparing Christ's room. Just giving him space. Lastly, my candle waxes. Anybody? My last drawer is the candle wax drawer. It's where all the candle melts go to die, right? I forget they're in there, literally. And I'm always trying to make my house smell good because I have dogs, and I want to get the dog smell out when people come over. I'm just like, I know I don't like the smell of dogs. Edie does not like the smell of dogs. So to honor my sweet mama, I'm always like, let's just make sure it doesn't smell like dog in here. And I thought about how sometimes in our life, we don't want to let God in those spaces where we want to cover things up and think we got it all going on okay. We want to mask those places where we're not ready to look in the mirror. We want to carve out those places where we're like, I'll let God in this drawer and in that drawer, and I'll let him in this other drawer. 22 is fine. But he doesn't get to be in this drawer yet. And that's okay until he asks you, can I have that drawer too? And little by little, as we prepare him room, he will just pull open that drawer. It doesn't even hurt. You think it's going to hurt. But he opens that drawer, and he just wants to get in there and have that space too. That space that maybe you've been hurt. That space where you feel absolutely broken. I love what Jackie said up here today. That space where you're scared about something, full of fear. That place where maybe you doubt that he's going to move in that area. He wants that space too. We want to prepare him room in every area of our life. I don't want one drawer not dedicated to my Father. My Jesus, who came to this earth and gave up the most magnificent comfort ever to be put on this planet. So,
I think that's the great thing is we don't have to impress God. He knows us already. Mm-hmm. You know, he knows where the dirt is and all the stuff. And I think that's the great thing is sometimes if I hear that knock and I say, okay, this is definitely a part of my life that I'm not proud of. If you're feeling the urge in that area, if you're feeling God's Spirit, let it be a reminder that it's time.
Yeah.
It's time. If that's where you're at, it's time to open that area. And I think living where Christ is our Lord, there's no better life.
It's true.
The best version of you is when Christ is the King of your life.
Yeah. So what we're going to do is there's a song that Paul Baloche released probably like 5 Christmases ago called Prepare Him Room. It's around 3 minutes and some odd seconds. And we got the words to the song and we're just going to play it. And we don't do this very often, but we're going to just give him room. We're not going to have any singers up here. It's no big show. It's just you and our Father, sweet little Jesus, baby Jesus, whatever version of Jesus you need today. And he is going to just minister to your heart. What we're asking is that you just pray. And pray and ask God, what are areas, what are some drawers that you want to open up? How can we further prepare room for your arrival in our life to the full capacity at which you want?
Yeah.
The altars are open.
Yeah, during the song, if you feel like you want to come up and pray or spend some time at the altars or worship, we're going to have people over here to pray. But we just have 3 or 4 minutes that we just can have some space to process what God is saying. How can I make room for you, Christ?
So you can stand, whatever you want, whatever you feel most comfortable at.